We're going to read in John chapter 3. We're going to listen into a conversation. My wife and I and daughter and her family were traveling a few weeks ago, and we're sitting down to breakfast one day, and I wasn't trying to listen until I realized they were speaking French. And I said, "Are you from Quebec?" "No, we're not from Quebec. We're from Ontario." But they actually were born, grew up not too far away from where Katrina grew up. And so we got chatting and we got to know them a little bit, all because of a conversation. Well, tonight, perhaps you will learn something from a conversation we are going to read in John chapter 3. If you were to look at my notes, actually it's not even notes, I was at work the other day and I thought of it, and I wrote down one word. It's the word must. Must. 80-some times in the New Testament, 4 times in this chapter alone. And there's something about must. As I was leaving home this evening, it was pouring rain, and my wife says, "Where's your coat? You should wear a coat." And in her mind, it was a must. So, like a good husband, I put my coat on, and I wore it. But I didn't have to. And that is actually one of the senses that this word is used here. It's something that should happen, but it's your choice. But then we're going to see it another way, where it is an absolute necessity. Did quite a bit of traveling this year, and a couple of different times I was traveling with work, and we were talking one day, said, "If we forget anything else while we're traveling, if I'm going to lose anything, I don't care if it's the luggage, I don't care if it's my carry-on, if I need anything, it is a little booklet about this big. It's a passport." And we all agreed, of everything that we have, this one document is the most important. I could buy another suitcase of clothes. I could buy a whole bunch of other stuff. But I need, it is an absolute necessity to get into Singapore, to get back into Canada. Need something. Absolute necessity. So now, you listen as we read this story. We're going to read the entire conversation. I was like Luke. I was only going to read 2 verses, and I said, "I'm going to read the whole thing." I remember when we were young, we would have learned this in Sunday school, and David was likely like me, sort of prided himself. Could quote all of John chapter 3 right down to, all, we might not get to verse 21, but we get to verse 18. Maybe you can do that. But do you understand the message? So here's the conversation of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 3, verse number 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi," or teacher, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except or unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not," or don't be amazed, "that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the dark, is light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That is a conversation between a religious man named Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know anything else about Nicodemus before this, but something in his mind got him interested in this person called Jesus. And he decided, I need to go see this man. In the word that I have in my heading, he must see Jesus. And so he goes to see him. And the conversation starts. Sometimes you'll be involved in conversations, and sometimes we can pretend that we're smarter than we really are, and we'll try and wax eloquent in a conversation, and all of a sudden it becomes very obvious that one person in the conversation is really doesn't understand. That's what happened here. Nicodemus, he goes to talk with this man, and in the eyes of everybody else, this man, Jesus, was an uneducated man. And Nicodemus tries to start communicating on a religious note. And he says, we understand that you're a teacher come from God, because we see that the miracles you do, and there's no other explanation. You must be sent from God. And very, very quickly, Nicodemus came face to face with something that he did not expect. Because the Lord Jesus very quickly highlights an issue in Nicodemus' life. I was sitting in my little chair in the corner this morning, and I was reading, and Lydia and her family were there, and I was sort of listening. And Asher started to fuss a little bit, and then he started to lament like his arm was cut off. And then abruptly he'd stop and he'd start to talk. And I said, yeah, it's coming out. Asher has a problem. And where do you suppose he got the problem? Well, he got it from his mother, who got it from her father, and I got it from my father. And it can be traced right back to where Luke took us tonight. It is the problem of sin. My wife says that I need to diet. But that's not the biggest problem that I have. Well, maybe it is, but... But there is something that is far greater than my need to exercise or to exercise control in what I eat and to curb my desires for sweets. You see, everyone that has been born in this world, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, has been born with the problem of sin. Sin. That is, there is something in you and I, and it pushes against God. When it comes to our actions don't line up with God's. In the field that I work, and David is aware of it, and Dean and Luke and carpenters as well, but in the overhaul of aircraft engines, when we will look at the drawings, we'll look for a little box. And it will give what I am allowed. And sometimes, maybe by mistake, or sometimes if it's to try and remove damage, we take the standard and we measure and we realize we are outside the boundaries. Well, when it comes to your life and my life, our character, our actions, when we compare it, when we line it up with God's word, you know, we have to come to the conclusion that you and I have missed God's mark. We have deviated. We have moved away. And now the Bible says that we are condemned. We are guilty. We are not fit for heaven. And that is what came across to Nicodemus almost. It must have been shocking for him. Because as this conversation starts, they aren't in it very far. And Nicodemus hears these words from the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus, if you ever want to be in heaven, you need to be born again. Then we get to verse 7. He says, don't be amazed. Don't be startled. Don't wonder at these words. You must be saved. And so that's the first thing I want to look at tonight. It is something that is absolute, but it is conditional. And what I mean by that, here's what Nicodemus understood. Here is a man, and he is telling me that unless I am born again, unless I am saved, unless my sins are taken away, I can never enter heaven. And that's absolute. And that has not changed in the 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus said it. It is the same thing tonight. And now it's not Nicodemus. It's you. If the Lord Jesus was here, if it was him that was speaking, he would tell you the exact same thing. That if you ever want to be in heaven, you must be saved. There is absolutely no other way around it. I was telling you about the passport. You could get into Singapore without a passport. But you better not get caught. But legally, to enter a foreign country, it is an absolute necessity. You need that document. But people have found a way around it. When it comes to God's heaven, there is no way around it. There is no religion. There is no way any person can enter heaven unless they are truly born again. That is the message that Nicodemus not only heard, but he understood. And it seems like it just, he was totally shocked. He looked like, I have grown up in this religion. I know the Old Testament scriptures. I don't have what he's talking about. And he says, what do you mean by being born again? You know, I was telling you about Asher, that he has a problem. You know what happened? He was born wrong. Well, everything went well as according to his birth, but you know what? He is missing a vital part that is necessary for a person to be right with God, and so was I. And I was 15 years old when I received the second birth, the spiritual birth. When I understood that I am a sinner, but Christ died for me. Tonight, here we are in 2026. It is the same message. It is the same criteria. If you're ever going to be in heaven, you need an absolute necessity. You must be saved. You know what the other side of it is? It is conditional. Because you don't have to be. That is, God has given you a choice. You know what Nicodemus could have said? That's not what I learned in my teaching. And Nicodemus could have walked, turned around, and walked out. The message was there. The criteria for heaven was put out. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus could have said, maybe, but no, not for me. The impact of the gospel message is that you have a choice. If you want to be in heaven, you need to be saved. God has given you the opportunity to make the choice yourself. When I was asked to go to Singapore a few months ago, I didn't have my passport. And I had a choice. I either pursue the path for the passport or I stay home. And one morning, I get up at 6 o'clock. I was on the road by 6:30. I drove to Fredericton, New Brunswick. I picked up the little piece of the little booklet and I drove back to Summerside because I knew if I was going to go, I needed it. Comes to salvation, you don't even have to drive. You don't even have to drive through O'Leary. Because salvation is available tonight. That is the second must. There's another one here, and it was absolute. You know, it wasn't conditional. If we go to verse 14. As the Lord Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he takes him to an Old Testament story that Nicodemus would know. And he says, Nicodemus, in the story in the Old Testament where the children of Israel complained against God, and there were poisonous snakes sent out in the people, and Nicodemus, he could have quoted the whole story, likely. And if we were to listen, likely the Lord Jesus said, remember how Moses was told to take a serpent, make a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole and hold it up. And Nicodemus, yeah. Lord Jesus, he is giving Nicodemus an object lesson. He says, in the exact same way, just like Moses lifted up that serpent and through it people were saved, he said, in the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up. You know what took place 2,000 years ago? There was an event that took place. And it didn't matter if there was ever going to be a response from mankind. It was something that had to happen. The Lord Jesus had. It was absolutely necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross and there give his life for sin. You ever thought of that? That there was a Savior, and in his willingness and in his display of love, he leaves heaven, he comes into this earth, and after living 30 some years, he gives his hands to rough Roman soldiers, and they take him and they nail him to a cross. And they drop that cross into a hole in the ground, and there's the Lord Jesus, nailed, suffering. Luke has already mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, God made him to be sin for us. God took the punishment for sin. And when it should have fallen on you and I, you know what God did? He took and he placed it on his Son. Because that is the only way the sin could be forgiven. One who was righteous, one who had never deviated from God's standards, one in whom there was absolutely no sin, the only one in this world. And he gave his life for sin. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Tonight in this gospel meeting, we want to present to you, we want you to understand there is one who died for sin. And because of what he has done, your sins can be forgiven. Because of what he has done, you can be born again. You can receive spiritual life. Because that's what you need to enter heaven. The Son of Man must be lifted up. And Nicodemus is listening. I don't know for sure, but it's likely around these words. We can only speculate, but it would seem that somewhere towards the end of this conversation, the light comes in to Nicodemus' mind. That's what he's talking about. That there is one who is going to make the provision for sin. We've been offering sacrifices, animals, and they have died, thousands of them. Now God has given his Son. We don't know for sure if this is when it was, but somewhere in that conversation, Nicodemus understands, I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I need to be saved. There he sees the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is and accepts him as his Savior. Tonight, we would beg you, we would urge you to think about these things and the necessity of salvation. To enter heaven, you need to be saved. You know, there's another side. You might choose, say, no, not for me. Not tonight, at least. Do you know what the other side of it is? There is a salvation that is provided. And it's really just being handed out to you. We're told Titus and Tori. He said, stop in on the way home. We have a gift for you. And you know what? The choice is theirs. They can say, okay, there's a gift. I'm going to take it. But they might just, we don't want Daryl Wendy's gift. That might seem pretty extreme, but what we're going to give them is probably not going to last that many years. It might. But tonight, you are being offered something that is eternal. I don't want to tell them what it is. But we have something that maybe they can use, but they could buy without us. Tonight, God is offering something that you cannot do without. Because if you don't accept it, there are consequences. If you accept it, there's consequences. It's eternal life. It is a redeemed heart. It is a response spiritually to God. But if you refuse, if you reject it, you can't enter heaven. The Bible says that the person who does not accept God's offer of salvation, it is eternal punishment. We could read the last verse of this chapter. It's not words of the Lord Jesus, but as John is recording this incident and some other things that happens, he's thinking about it, and you know what he says? And I'm going to read it, so I quote it right. He, or the person that believeth on the Son, has everlasting life. What more could you want? Then John writes these words, but the person that doesn't believe, he that believeth not the Son, won't see life, won't see heaven, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know what John was understanding? For the person who accepts the Lord Jesus, it's eternal life. It is peace with God forevermore. Maybe not in this world, but a future that is bright. John understands a person who rejects God's salvation. There's no life. There's no hope. But it's the wrath of God forever. It was a pretty serious conversation that Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus had. And thankfully, we can prove to you from the Bible that Nicodemus, it would seem, understood the message, and he received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But tonight, what about you? Unless a person is born again, we'll never see heaven. Lord Jesus says, you must be born again. But that is possible today because the Lord Jesus had to go, and he did go. And he has provided the payment for sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, puts their trust in him. This is a promise. Whoever believes in him will not perish, will not see the wrath of God, but has everlasting life. To every person here that has been saved, you know what we have? Yes, we may die. Two people have escaped so far. Only two people. And you can go look for them if you want. They're not here on earth, but I mean, you can look for them in the Bible. Every other person has went through death. And if the Lord doesn't come, I will die. But you know what? I know I have eternal life. Spiritually, I am alive in Christ Jesus. And I will dwell with Him forever. Will you? He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son will not see life. But what? The wrath of God abides on him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the message of the gospel, and we thank that we can present the message. It's not always maybe the way it should come across, and yet it is highlighted in the Bible for us. And so we pray that to be individuals here tonight would understand their need of a Savior and understand that there is only one way to heaven. Peter says in Acts, it's through him that we must be saved. So we would pray for each in our meeting tonight. Thank thee for everyone that has come out. And take us home safely, I would ask, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.